Well, in this modern age of social media, it's still the Velcro board. And here we are. I debated long and hard whether the program I had in my mind to follow, I should really go in the direction I was going to go this morning. Never mind, I decided still we would. So my title, you'll see why I said that in a minute, is this: Having Confidence in the Right Man. And we're looking at the centurion and his sick servant and the way in which he sent people to go to the Lord Jesus so that his servant might be healed, because he had confidence in him. We'll come back to that, won't we? Having confidence in the right man. Who is your confidence in today? Who is your confidence in? We read a psalm, didn't we? Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. Those are the things of those days. What are we trusting in? Armies, rockets, tanks? What are we trusting in today? Well, this is why I said I debated long and hard. Will these dear people be so wearied of seeing these faces that they'll almost turn around and tear me apart? But here we are. You can tell me who these people are. Confidence in people. Right. Just when you thought the election had gone away. So who have we here? That is Theresa May, still our Prime Minister as we speak at this moment. And, hands up for that one. Not too difficult, these. Are they just there? On again, Jay. Yeah, it's Mr. Jeremy Corbyn. I don't know whether they get harder now, but anyway, stay with me. Oh, they got harder then. Okay, well, Timothy might grab that one.
Tim Farron,
thank you. Liberal Democrats there. Was leader of the Labour Party. Well, you've got to think north here a little bit, but who's this one here? Any takers on that one? Oh, yeah, conference there. No, anybody want to take that one? Doc's got that one there. Nicola Sturgeon, the leader of the SNP, Scottish Nationalist Party. Now I'm throwing a wild card here. Wild card there, right. Haircut's good, by the way. No. Who is this? Who is this? Well, he's smiling there, but I've given him... I found a flattering picture. Anybody for that one? And Timothy, perhaps you know that one.
Beloved leader Kim Jong-un.
Beloved leader Kim Jong-un of North Korea. And a hardline communist state. He is their leader. Well, people have confidence... Maybe they don't have confidence in the people here. Political leaders, they've been in the news, and they're going to stay in the news, I think, for a fair bit yet, whether some totalitarian leader or leaders of parties that have been voted into power. Well, people often show remarkable confidence in what they can do, in what they can achieve, in the promises that they can deliver, apparently. And so we're sometimes left to wonder, aren't we? What about us? What about us? Do we have confidence in man, chariots, the horses, or are we actually thinking perhaps more wisely and putting our confidence in the only person that really we should put our confidence in? So now back to the centurion. Okay, there he was. Now he was a man who I imagine was fairly confident because he's a centurion. He's arrived in a post which is quite senior. He's done well. He's able there to command men. That's when he says, I say, do this, they do it. I say, come, he comes. I say, go, he goes. Things happen for centurions. He can make this happen or make that happen, and it happens. And of course, if it doesn't happen, the people are in trouble. His soldiers will be in trouble. His servant will be in trouble with him that he didn't do what he was told. He didn't go when he was told to go. He didn't come when he was told to come. So he's doing okay. And he must have some money because he's been able to fund the synagogue in Capernaum. Capernaum, where the Lord Jesus Christ was very much resident for much of his 3 years of public ministry, a synagogue in which, well, we've thought about it previously, but a place where a lot of things happen. And this was the man who, from the wealth he had, from having this very important post, this senior post as a centurion, in charge of other soldiers, he was able to fund it. So there he is, quite well positioned, in a place of authority. People above him, as he has said there, he's under authority too, so he has to do his bit of doing and going and coming when he's been commanded. But he's okay. He's doing okay. But now, his servant is sick, and we're told ready to die. Ready to die. And now our centurion friend is here. He was out of his depth. He was out of his depth. For all the things that he could do and make happen, get the taxes collected there and the soldiers would attend to that, or a bit of security needed somewhere there around the Sea of Galilee, he would be able to make that happen. A bit of a rebellion somewhere there on the outskirts of Nazareth. Well, he'd have his soldiers across there in no time. Problem sorted. But not this one. There is his servant, a dear servant. This speaks nicely, actually, and kindly of the centurion. That, well, you have a servant and they just get on with it, don't they? Do this, you say to your servant. But I don't think he would say his do this to his servant in a kind of nasty and sort of domineering way. Because he cared for his servant. And now when his servant is sick and dying, and he is unable to do anything for him, he might have the money, but the money that he might have spent on physicians has done nothing for the poor man, and he is watching him just ebb away. And he is deeply, deeply sad. He is grief-stricken at the thought of losing this dear servant. But what can he do? He was out of his depth. No answers, no solutions that he could bring to bear for all his authority. There was nobody that he could say to some soldier, right, do something for my servant, or you come here, sort this out for me. And so he might well have concluded that he's going to lose this dear man whom he valued and actually loved. But then, of course, as we know, because we've read the passage, he knew someone else could help. He knew somebody else could help. Just with an economy of words, Luke tells us he heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. But he heard about the right man there, didn't he? I don't know how much he heard or what he heard. We're going to think about that in a moment. But he now knew that the Lord Jesus Christ, who spent a lot of his time in Capernaum, was actually in Capernaum. He'd been out traveling, he'd been away in different places, but he was here in the town, and he knew enough about him to know he could do something. Centurion couldn't. He's out of his depth. This is beyond him. He can't meet the need of his servant. This Lord Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, who is now living in Capernaum, there by the Sea of Galilee, he could do something. Because he knew. He had heard. Great wisdom. Great wisdom. Such great Velcro, but great wisdom. Great wisdom. The things that this Jesus of Nazareth knew about were astounding. He could unlock the secrets of men's hearts. He knew what they were thinking before they even said it. He knew about heaven and could talk about it with an authority that only somebody who lived there could actually speak. He could talk about life after death. He could talk about how to know this God. Understanding things that nobody else could explain it that way. Not the scribes, not the Pharisees, not even these grateful elders in the synagogue who were very grateful to the centurion for all the help. No, not even the best of them could get anywhere near the wisdom with which this other man, this Jesus, the way he spoke. He told you things that you could never have grasped otherwise, and in such a way that you could get it, you could understand what he was saying. So there's something very special about him. Oh, great power. Well, we read on, didn't we? And we had the raising of the widow's son, and this young lad's dead, gone, she a widow, and her only son dead, and he was raised. Well, that happened the day after, so it's quite an action-packed time, isn't it? That's the day after he then raises the dead. Because we know he's going to cure the servant, don't we? The Lord Jesus, he's going to do that. But he'd done lots of other things running up to this. Healings, miracles, one after the other. He did this day, and then the next day. whole raft of other things that he did. Demons he cast out, lepers that he cleansed, blind people who could see, deaf people who could hear. Whatever, incurable conditions, healed, cured, with a word, effortless. This was power. He has the wisdom, knows God, understands the human heart. He knows the way that man can come to God, and he's got the power to show it's all true what he is saying, that he is divine. He is the Son of God. So he'd heard about that, but he'd also heard about this. Great love. Great love. That this Jesus Christ had immense love. Immense. That he loved people that some of those elders at the synagogue were a bit wary of and not so happy with. The tax collectors, the so-called sinners, people that were regarded by the smart and decent people of the synagogue to be completely outside. No way could God have any interest in such people. But no, this man seemed to reach out to people like that. He had something for them. He didn't push them away. Why, he even went and ate with these sorts of people. He would sit with them and speak with them. And they were listening to him, and their lives were being transformed as a result. That was love, because that would have been important to this centurion to know that. Because he's not a Jew. He is not born there in Israel with a kind of his family, well, we date back to here, and I'm actually related to David somewhere in my family. He didn't have any of that. He might have wanted that with all his heart. Oh, I wish I'd been born there, and I'd been in that family, but oh, he's just a Gentile. What interests could this Savior, this Messiah from within the Jewish people have for a Gentile like him? Well, yes, he wanted to be understanding and get as near as he could to the Jewish people and their religion. So he funded the synagogue. And he had done many good things for our nation, as the elders say when they make their appeal on his behalf to the Lord Jesus. He knew that this man loved people who were outcasts and who weren't quite it. And that Gentiles, and he'd already heard perhaps of some Gentiles who had been helped, and people that nobody else was interested in, the Lord Jesus had time and space for those people. That gave him hope. That really gave him hope that he might do something for me and for my servant. That he's that kind of person that doesn't look at your status or your background. He doesn't do a sort of security check on you to see if you're okay. He's just willing. If you repent and look to him, he is willing to do great things for you. But he was careful, wasn't he? He thought, well, I'm still a Gentile. What right have I to expect anything from him? Just like the woman whose demon-possessed daughter, and the disciples told her to be quiet when she kept crying to him to help her daughter. And she said, didn't she, when he said, well, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. She said, just a crumb that falls from the table will do me nicely, thank you very much. And the Lord said for such an answer, your daughter is well. And he's like this, a crumb will do. Just a crumb will do. You don't come into my house. You don't have to just say the word. I know your power. I know your authority. I know that you can do something. I'm just a Gentile. Who am I? Who's my servant? Why are you? We're not worth even a look. Not a worth even you bothering with us in a way. Don't busy yourself or spoil the rest of your visit and what you're doing. Just say a word. We'll take that crumb and that'll be all that we need. Of course, he's right. The Lord Jesus marveled at his faith, that he was believing so much that he didn't even think it necessary that the Lord Jesus should come to his house or pray over his servant or touch him. Their word would do it, because he had such power and authority. So he was a man having confidence in Christ. He had confidence in Christ. Not chariots, not horses, they couldn't help in this. Not political leaders. No point going to Pontius Pilate and saying, can you come and do something for my servant? What could he do? But he knew that this prophet, more than a prophet, who had arisen from Nazareth, that he could do something. So for you today, you haven't got a servant sick at home, I don't think, but you have a need for your soul. Because we're perishing. Without Christ, we are perishing, dying. And out there, in that world, well, the way it behaves, you need me to convince you of that. Our culture, I have to say this, is dying. We're not, as a nation, in a good place. We'll be speaking about that this evening a bit more. But the fact is that there you are, in this world, but your soul also. Without Christ, without having found him, it's actually, whether you know it or not, you're putting your confidence in something or someone else. It may not be the politicians, you may have seen through half of that and be well beyond that, but you're putting your confidence in yourself, that I'll be good enough to get there, that what I'm doing or my understanding or some knowledge that I have, that'll be enough. You need to know him. You need to know this Christ who died on the cross, died for sinners, who personally cares for individual sinners. It's not something out there, it's something very real. And a Christian knows that he loved me and gave himself for me. Centurion believed that was that kind of man, that this Jesus was that kind of person, that he reached out to the unlikeliest and the people that you wouldn't really think God would be interested in. What is he going to achieve? What's his servant ever going to do? Very little, perhaps. But the fact is that we can have a personal relationship with him, and he will have a personal relationship with us, that we will know him. Not about him, we'll know him, and he'll know us. And we will walk with him, and he'll guide us. If he gives us our sins, he gives us a pardon. And then he's with us then through all the days of our life. Because I hope you have a lot of days of your life. Truly I do. And that God gives you great opportunities. But if you don't know him, well then that's all dead letter. Your gifts, your talents, the days that lie ahead of you, the difference that you need to make for our sad, sad nation and our sad, sad society and sad, sad young people, that difference God can make in your life through you, using you. Have confidence in the right man. The centurion did. Jesus, the Lord Jesus. So is your confidence in him today? It needs to be, because no heaven else and no effectiveness and usefulness in this life either. Give your heart, your soul to him. Believe in him. Trust in him for everlasting life. And you will find, like the centurion found for his servant, there are wonderful answers, great things that he will do. May God bless you. May he encourage you and be with you. Amen.